Rushdoony Radio presents An Informed Faith, the Position Papers of Our Day Rushdoony by Rufus John Rushdoony, narrated by Nathan F. Conkey, produced with permission by the Chalcedon Foundation. 19. The Wheat and the Tares, Chalcedon Position Paper No. 154, August 1992. One of the most important and influential of the parables of our Lord is about the wheat and the tares. It is a very simple parable, and our Lord himself gives its explanation. Matthew 13, 24-30, 36-43. All the same, at two points, people have had problems with its meaning. First, does it apply to the end of the world or not? Verse 39. The word translated as world is literally aeon or age. This means that the fulfillment of this parable is continuous in history. In age after ages, tares are in the kingdom, and God himself deals with this problem at the end of an era, a time of judgment. This means that there are a number of such uprootings in history, culminating in the last judgment. The parable applies to our time. The age of humanistic statism is nearing its grim end, and God will bring about a great cleansing. Second, what is the field? Our Lord identifies it in verse 24 as, quote, the kingdom of heaven, end quote. God's absolute and total realm. In verse 38, the field is called, quote, the world, end quote, the cosmos. Since the earth is the Lord's, Psalm 24:1, and the entire creation is his handiwork, the field is inclusive of all things, the church, the earth, and all creation. Two kinds of seeds are involved. The sower of the good seed, the children of the kingdom, is Jesus Christ. The tares are the children of the wicked, sown by the devil. As early as in the days of the early church, Jude, our Lord's brother, tells us that the ungodly had crept into the church, Jude 4. Otto, Bishop of Freising, in The Two Cities, a chronicle of universal history to the year 1146 AD, said of the city of God and the evil city of man that the two had but one history, the church. The church was so fully mixed a scene that there was a radical confusion of what was Christ's and what was Satan's. The church was no longer the representative of the city of God. Quote, I seem to myself to have composed a history, not of two cities, but virtually of one only, which I call the church, end quote. Prologue to the fifth book. Bishop Otto saw the Tower of Babel as the true forerunner of the apostate church. Again and again, the tares have been sown within the church, and, age after age, our Lord has cleansed his temple. But this has not been a futile cycle. With each time of cleansing and reformation, advances have been made. We are therefore the heirs of the ages, heirs of the cleansing and the reforms which the Lord of the Church has made through his servants. When, however, men exalt the Church and equate it with Christ, we had better beware. The Church is the servant of the Lord, not the Lord himself. In our time, we see heresies and immoralities abound within the church. Modernism, indifferentism, child molestation, a hostility to sound doctrine, antinomianism, and so on and on. The church boasts of its past glories because its present life is an empty one. Recently, 2 days in a row, I heard from persons subjected to harsh discipline because they had called attention to evils committed by those in authority. Although in the right, a fact none challenged because they wanted silence on the issues, they were accused of having murder in their hearts. Therefore, they had to repent and seek forgiveness in terms of Matthew 5:22. No attention was paid to our Lord's plain condition. The anger had to be, quote, without cause, end quote. The twisting of scripture to justify evil is a serious offence. To use civil law to do evil is very wrong. How much more so if we use God's law word to cover our evil actions and intentions? How does the church come to so evil a position? Our Lord gives us the answer, quote, "While men slept," end quote. Where Christ's law word is concerned, the church is too often asleep. What men want of the church is an insurance policy guaranteeing heaven. Having that, they want to be able to forget the fine print in their, quote, "insurance policy," end quote. Why is there this recurring fact of reformation and an evil infestation? The coming of Christ's kingdom is a process of growth, sifting, and judgment. The issues of history are not resolved in a generation, nor in an age. In more than one parable of Matthew 13, the fact is clear that there are times of harvest. At the end of a growing season, harvest time comes. So too, at the end of an age, there is a harvesting. History has many growing seasons. We live in one, and we have a duty to the Lord in terms of it. A very important aspect of this parable is the fact that the Lord forbids his servants from going after the tares, that is, to uproot them. Repeatedly over the centuries, commentators have made clear that these words, verses 18 to 30, do not forbid church discipline. What our Lord requires elsewhere is not invalidated by these words. What is meant, then? The harvest is at the end of the age. It cannot be brought about prematurely. All too often over the centuries, churchmen have sinned by seeing their time as the end time, and they act on that assumption, thereby neutralizing Christian faith in action. We are required to do our vineyard work and to leave the harvesting to the Lord. It is His world, not ours. It is His church, not ours. And we had better remember this. The old saying states the matter well. The duties are ours. The results are in the hands of the Lord. Leave it there. Meanwhile, remember, the church is not a new Garden of Eden. It is full of tares. You cannot do your duty to the Lord if you fail to recognize this fact. Remember, too, that the good seed grows. Growth, or sanctification, is much neglected in our time. We live in an era of indecision within the church, an unwillingness to act and to grow. The church is suffering from a very serious case of constipation, no movement. Too many church members, instead of being, quote, "more than conquerors," end quote, Romans 8:37, are less than men. They are a sluggish army in retreat, and too dull to know what is happening. Quote, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light," end quote, Ephesians 5:14. We are in war, and we cannot escape it by hiding in the church. It is there. Well done for listening all the way to the end. This is Nathan, the narrator, speaking to you from Puebla, Mexico, from the Faith for All of Life school, in which I teach English as a volunteer. I teach from kinder through high school. Now, I rely on donations in order to keep teaching and recording, so if you want to support a Faith for All of Life school in Latin America and want to keep listening to Rush Dooney while you vacuum, drive or cook, commute or whatever you're doing right now, donate at cten.org/Nathan Conkey. That's NathanConkey, all lowercase. Or if you prefer PayPal, paypal.me/NNathan Conkey. You can also email me at nfconkey, that's nfconkey@gmail.com. Thanks, and I look forward to speaking to you very soon.